You know, as chief, it's a privilege every day to serve with the greatest treasure in our nation's arsenal. Young men and women who hold up their right hand and take a solemn oath to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And as the oath states, we take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, because we're all volunteers. It's sacred duty, defending the American people and our way of life. Because American parents send their sons and daughters to us. And those of us privileged to lead can never forget that leadership is a gift that's given by those entrusted to our care. So as Chief of Staff of the world's greatest Air Force, for all the young people in the crowd, I'm certainly rooting for you to come join the long blue line in the Air Force. But to be truly honest, as a Joint Chief, I'd be equally thrilled for you to consider the world's greatest Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps, or the Coast Guard. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's about a life of service that matters. A commitment to being part of something bigger than ourselves. And so I want to end this with just another short video that describes for you what we do as an Air Force, and want to reach out to the young people here and their parents to tell you, if this is what you think you may like to do, come join us. We have a place for you, and your nation awaits.
Well, with that, we'll bring out the rest of our panelists. I'd like to give a warm Oshkosh welcome to General Marianne Miller, Commander of the Air Mobility Command from Scott Air Force Base in Illinois. General Miller. Also joining us is General Donald Dunbar. He is Wisconsin's Adjutant General, and he commands the Wisconsin Air National Guard and also is responsible for emergency management. General Dunbar. And finally, one of our hometown heroes from Green Bay, Wisconsin, Major Rachel Winetsky, and she is an F-35 pilot. I see the Major brought her fan club. General, we'll start with you. Describe, first of all, this is your first time to Oshkosh. Describe maybe some of the impressions you have coming to this, and as you said, checking off, visiting Oshkosh, checking that off your bucket list.
One of the things that I was most excited about is all the young people that I saw here excited about aviation. You know, the challenge we face right now as a nation is that we're actually not producing enough aviators to meet the demand signal for commercial, business, and military aviation. Just to give you a little bit of math, our airlines right now, based on retiring pilots and what have you, they need 4,000 pilots a year for the next 10 years, 4,000 a year, 10 years in a row. And we, the United States military, across all the services, produce about 2,500 a year. So we're not producing the number we need to meet the demand. And so what that means is we need to get America's youth flying. We need to get young people fired up and excited about a career in aviation, whether it's military or business or commercial. We need them. So to walk around today and see so many young people fired up and getting exposed to the aviation business today was for me the greatest part.
One of the things that I discovered in doing a little research on you is that you wrote sort of a booklet called Sharing Success, Owning Failure, Preparing to Command in the 21st Century Air Force. And I've read parts of it, and it's really amazing your insights into, it's basically a checklist on how to be a good, not commander, but a good leader of a unit. And what was the genesis of for that book?
You know, it's interesting. You can actually get that for free at the dollar store with every purchase. It started off as something I wanted to give to my young commanders as a colonel that would offer them my thoughts on command, and it was in leadership, and it was really designed to be sort of a Friday afternoon in the, you know, in the lounge, club, bar, whatever you want to call it, talking about things we learned and things we goofed up. You know, because that's what tends to happen, right? That's how you learn flying, right? You still sit around and talk about it. So it was sort of written as though you were in the bar Friday night talking about what you learned that week. And it sort of hit a nerve, and that was the intent.
Excellent. It's a great read, and if you go to the dollar store or you go to the internet, you can download the PDF for free as well.
Yeah.
And it actually applies not only to military, but also to any form of leadership, whether it's with a business or a volunteer activity. It's very well written, and I enjoyed reading it.
Thanks.
General Miller, tell us a little bit about your role with Air Mobility Command.
Air Mobility Command is a global operation. We have 1,100 aircraft if you count the active guard and reserve, tankers, airlifters, C-130s. We do the aeromedical evacuation mission. We cover the globe in supporting the global mobility system. 118 locations around the globe, 24/7, 365. So it's a large enterprise. We're there for every natural disaster. We're there for every combatant commander demand, whether that be refueling fighters or bombers or bringing fuel and supplies to wherever it needs to be across the globe.
Well, first, welcome to everybody to EAA. It's great to have EAA recognizing our great Air Force in this event and having our chief here with us in general. Listen to me. It's terrible. It's great to have everybody here with us today. I'm the Guard Commander here in the state of Wisconsin, your National Guard. We got about 2,300 airmen, and we have an F-16 unit at Madison that's going to be converting to the F-35 that you've seen flying around here in a few short years. KC-135 unit in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and we have a training base at Volk Field. The thing that's unique about the National Guard is we are a force that works for the governor, trains every day to the Air Force mission, and stands ready to be a wingman for our United States Air Force whenever we're needed. In fact, right now, we have about 500 of those 2,300 airmen who are deployed in the combat zone right now, and another 100 cleaning up storms we just had in the last week up in three counties up north. And what's really unique about the National Guard and our reserve, 65% of them are not full-time. They work in the communities where you live, whether they're doctors, lawyers, police, firefighters, and they put the uniform on the weekend. They're 100% American airmen, but they don't do it full-time. They do a great job for our country, and it's a privilege to be here.
Great. And Major Winetsky, how did you come to fly the F-35?
You know, it was a really just very great opportunity going and commissioning through ROTC and then going to pilot training. Was fortunate enough to fly the A-10 operationally, and then competed for and was selected to attend test pilot school, and then provided the opportunity to fly the F-16 from there for diversification of assets. And then just this last fall, was able to pick up the F-35 qual as well as we continue now the developmental test efforts of that weapon system.
So with the F-35, tell us some of the differences in flying that compared to some, obviously, big difference to the A-10, but in some of the other jets.
Yeah, well, you know, we obviously, it's an incredible asset. In particular, the situational awareness that aircraft provides, and really the ability for the aircraft and the mission system to fuse information from different sources to display that clearly and concisely to the operator. So it's really just an incredible warfighting capability. Through that, obviously, there's going to be a diversity of F-35 mission sets as we continue to deploy and evolve this asset. Obviously, growing up in the A-10, very proud of our mission sets of close air support, combat search and rescue, and forward air controller. And you know, the F-35, as well as some of the other assets in the inventory, not just from the Air Force, but with our joint partners as well, we'll be incorporating those mission sets in the future, which is really going to be exciting.
Excellent. How many hours of flying time do you have now?
I'd have to check with the records folks. We'll say notionally probably about 2,500 or so hours, I think.
Great. And because this is an aviation-related crowd, I'll ask each of you the same question and maybe some of the aircraft that you've flown, General.
About 4,600 hours, and it's been primarily F-16s, F-117s, MC-12, sort of a converted King Air, and MQ-9s. Actually, you got a chance to fly the unmanned.
General Miller?
4,800 hours as a T-37 instructor pilot. I was a FAPE, an NC-141, C-5. C-9, C-17, KC-10, and C-40.
General Dunbar.
So I've got about 3,100 hours, principally in the B-52, flew the KC-135, and about 100 hours in the C-26.